Is Australia becoming a haven for looted and corrupt wealth from developing countries, especially in Melanesia and the South Pacific? Well, according to one leading corruption specialist, the answer is most likely yes. Professor Jason Sharman has worked for the World Bank studying how corrupt leaders and officials launder bribes and stolen funds. Jason Sharman is based at the Centre for Governance and Public Policy at Griffith University, and he joins us now from Brisbane. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
You're saying Australia is a preferred haven for looted wealth from the Pacific and Melanesia. What evidence can you point to?
First off, we know that for Papua New Guinea and other countries in our region, there's serious corruption problems and that a lot of money is being stolen. Earlier this year, a senior PNG member of the police force said that he thought up to half of the total budget of the government of Papua New Guinea was lost to corruption. So it leads to the question, where does this money go? Research from the World Bank suggests that, in general, corrupt leaders from poor countries tend to put their money in rich countries, particularly those with big banks, stable financial sectors, and strong currencies. And also the issue of colonial ties is important, so particular former colonial masters are favoured, so where officials might regularly visit or have family members living there. Pretty much Australia ticks all of those boxes in having big banks, a stable financial sector, strong currency, and those former colonial ties. I guess a bit more specifically as well, we have particular examples in this case from outside Melanesia. Earlier this year, a Chinese official, a prefecture governor, was found out for corruption offences. And part of those proceeds of corruption, he'd bought 23 properties. Six of those were in Melbourne in Australia, so to that extent we know that there's corrupt proceeds being laundered here. And I suppose finally, AUSTRAC, which is the Australian government agency responsible for combating money laundering, said in testimony before the Senate a few years ago that Australia is a significant destination country for the funds derived from corrupt activities within the region. So although the evidence is not 100% conclusive, it's very strong.
Isn't AUSTRAC the body best placed to combat this?
In some ways, yes, but there are vulnerabilities and loopholes there. First off, there's a question of political priorities. Some things get emphasised more than others. So political priorities like the financing of terrorism or drug trafficking or outlaw motorcycle gangs appropriately have been stressed by the government. But that tends to leave other things getting less attention. And one of those is, as I say, Australia hosting the proceeds of foreign corruption. The second problem would be that AUSTRAC doesn't have any responsibilities in the real estate sector. And again, the evidence we have suggests that real estate is a favoured way of laundering either bribes or kickbacks or money taken from embezzlement by foreign leaders.
Is it a crime under Australian law to invest ill-gotten foreign gains in the Australian property market?
Australia has signed a variety of international instruments, one being the United Nations Convention Against Corruption, which obligate Australia to take steps to make sure that we're not playing host to the proceeds of foreign corruption. And indeed, Australian banks are under an obligation to find out whether the wealth of their customers has been legitimately acquired or not.
What should be done to improve Australia's response?
I guess there are a few things that could be done, some of them quite easy. First off would just be to look through property registries, which are public documents in Australia, and as a first cut, look at, see if there are any names that match in terms of politicians in the region, either members of parliament or members of cabinet or senior members of the public service, who own large and expensive properties that seem to be beyond their means. That is, if you have someone who's earning $40,000 a year and they own $6 million worth of real estate in North Queensland, that starts to look pretty suspicious. The second thing would be to, again, name match through company registries, see if the companies are listed with ASIC, just the shareholders there. And I suppose lastly would be to do the same sort of combing through exercise with the bank with bank accounts in Australia. All of that information the government already has, so it's not a question of collecting new information. It would just be going through and matching up names and looking for suspicious patterns.
If the government does find a match, given that these are likely serving overseas foreign government officials, it gives rise to potentially a political problem, not just a policing matter.
It does give rise to a political problem. I should say this is not just current officials, but former officials who may be in the picture as well. And that might be one of the reasons, that political difficulty might be one of the reasons why this issue has gotten so little attention and why apparently the Australian government has so far done so little to combat this problem.
We think Australia is very free of corruption, and indeed at our senior government levels, there's little or no allegation of whole-scale bribery on a level that's been experienced in PNG Melanesia. But of course, it's this kind of approach towards the edges that still needs to be focused upon.
Yeah, that's true. Australia gets a pretty good ranking in terms of corruption within this country. But on the other hand, Australia also gets a pretty bad rating in terms of living up to its international commitments to fight corruption. So, for example, the International Anti-Corruption NGO Transparency International has, in a report earlier this year, said that the Australian government takes little or no action in enforcing our international obligations there. And of course, most recently in the region, in the media, we've had the case of the Securency Note Printing Australia Reserve Bank scandal, which again is large-scale corruption that, in this case, bribes being paid from Australia to foreign countries.
Professor Sharman, thanks for being with us this morning.
Great, thanks very much.
Professor Jason Sharman from Griffith University. He'll be speaking later today at the Centre of Excellence in Policing and Security Conference in Brisbane. It's 5 to 8.